Yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, joined by the Bible scholar, Charles Leger, a.k.a. Granddaddy. If you're curious, we're just two guys looking to spread love, hope, and joy across the world by sharing with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changed our lives. And we made this podcast so we could specifically show you how it's going to change and impact your life as well. So we aim to take this message across the world, and you can help us do that by going to anchor.fm/unchained. That's anchor.fm/unchained. And from that page, guys, you got three options. The first option is called More Places to Listen. Click it, guys, and then you can listen to us on your favorite podcast station. That helps keep us on the air. Or you can click the button right below that, and you can donate to help keep us alive. You can make a small monthly contribution, or you can leave us a voice message and tell us how this podcast has changed your lives. Thank you, guys. Hey, what up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Look, no Bible scholar today. Charles Leger is out. He is handling his family biz. But keep my boy in your prayers. His mother-in-law is going through some things, so keep him and his wife, Jenny, and the mother-in-law, keep them in your prayers, man. I miss my dog. He's been working hard and taking care of his fam, so... yeah, it's just me today. I'm the one that's going to be before you guys today. I don't want to keep you long, but... I just want to encourage you guys, like right off the bat, amidst all the craziness, the COVID-19 pandemic, yes, it's still crazy as far as the pandemic goes. The election time is here. Look, believe what you want, but don't get wrapped up in the politics. Don't get wrapped up in the he say, she say. Don't get wrapped up in others' opinions about what you believe in. Yo, that's wasted energy, man. But I hope y'all have had a good week. And I also hope you guys have enjoyed the Faith of Fear series. It wasn't one that we wanted to get that in depth with, but I think when we actually started on that rabbit trail, that it opened up a lot of doors. And praise God for where he led with the information. Praise God for the revelation that came with that. Praise God for all the lives that were touched and changed by it. You know, there were people who heard the Faith of Fear podcast and were absolutely touched in the midst of their sickness, their marriages, their health. You know, truly thankful for that. So, you know, with that being said, man, I'm kind of going to roll the ball by myself a little bit since my partner in crime is not here, since he is out. You know, I do want to go ahead and get the ball rolling on something else. And me and him had a chit chat last week, you know, before I went on a drive. You know, it's one of the things I like to do in my spare time. If I have time, I like to go on a drive. I like to have talks with God. I like to get where I can be alone with him and just reflect on the information that he's putting into my spirit. I like to reflect on, you know, what he's saying to me, because I think sometimes in prayer, we do way too much talking and not enough listening. Yeah, that's right. I said it. We do way too much talking and not enough listening. And I'll be honest with you. I want to be transparent with y'all. That has been a big problem of mine, especially over the last 5 or 6 months. I've been doing way too much talking and not enough listening. And when God's been talking, I've been hearing it, but I haven't been doing nothing with the information, right? So, you know, with all the knowledge and wisdom that I acquire from reading the good book, all the good things that the Lord puts into my spirit, it is not any good if it doesn't produce any fruit in my life. If I'm not applying it, it's useless, right? So this is what I want you to get out of today's message, because he and I were talking, and we're talking about how just how life has been hard for us. You know, I know we bring to you the message, and I know it seems like we have a lot of biblical knowledge. But again, biblical knowledge not well applicated, or, you know, going through trauma and pain and trials. Sometimes it is hard to apply what you have learned. You know, it's kind of like when soldiers or police officers, when they get ready, and, you know, soldiers get ready for combat, police officers get ready to take on the streets. It's one thing that you know those things, but you know, when it pops off, when things get real, you know, when guns start firing or somebody shoots at you, when things happen, you know, you may not always remember what you've been trained to do. And sometimes I think that's how it is when we read the Word of God and we're trying to equip our spirit. We're trying to, you know, we're trying to ready ourselves and put on the armor of God and protect our mind and our heart and our spirits. And we're trying to walk in righteousness. But how do we transfer that when trauma happens? Right. So that's the question. Like, what do you do when trauma happens? I think a lot of times we forget our training. We forget the scriptures that we learn. We forget what the pastor told us or a dear friend has told us. We forget what we learned in our groups and all of our teachings. We forget some of the things that have been given to us when trauma happens. So when life happens to you, you can only fight it with the word that you have down in your spirit. And if we don't study and meditate on those things, if we're not letting God speak to our spirits, it is super hard to combat what it is you're dealing with. And so I'm speaking from experience because, yo, I've gotten knocked off my rocker. And it is not because I didn't read. It wasn't because I didn't go to church. It was not because God does not love me, but it was simply because I did not have enough in my spirit to deal with what was coming my way. And sometimes you can take a long and hard fall when you're not ready and prepared to deal with the things that are coming your way. And that happens to the best of us. And I think a lot of times we get down on ourselves. We start living in guilt and shame and start feeling like we're not worth it. We feel like we're not worthy. We feel like God doesn't love us. We feel like he doesn't care. And so we can spend a lot of time in emotional trauma and anger and regret. And we can be living in this place all the while life is passing us by. We're wasting a lot of time and we're spending a lot of time thinking about a lot of things that don't matter, right? So, you know, with all that being said, I want to read to you guys a couple verses out of Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 7. And this was the letter that was written to Ephesus, right? And this is Jesus talking, and he is speaking very clear and direct. And I'm going to give you guys some notes that I did on this, and hopefully you guys can apply this or understand it. So I hope that God will allow me to articulate this the way that he gave it to me, so it comes across plain and clear, and that it can actually take seed in your spirit and it can grow down and it can weed out all the things that we don't want in our life. All right. So again, this is Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 7. Jesus says, "I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God." Okay, so he's speaking very plainly. Okay, you know, as much as we can understand, right? I say plainly, but you know, sometimes that can come across like, oh, well, I really haven't read that before, so I really don't know and understand like what Jesus is saying. And I want to give you guys again like some notes. And, you know, I want to point out just a couple things, just in the first couple verses, right? So when we are reading these, we're reading these verses, I want you guys to understand, verse two, he says, "I know all the things that you do." He says, "I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance." All right. So number one, he didn't say that you were perfect. It said you worked hard. And I want to explain to you guys that hard work for God does not equate to righteousness. I want you guys to understand that. It is not your hard work that puts you in favor with God. It is the application of what it is that you're learning and what he's telling you or teaching you that helps you to walk in righteousness with God. Okay? I want a lot of people who are hearing this that you are never going to be perfect. Right? The whole reason why the Ten Commandments were written in the first place were for us to understand that we're not perfect and that we're going to mess up. Right? So I don't want you guys to think that the harder that I work, the more righteous I become. No. Now, if you try your heart in the effort, you know, I think you may be able to walk in righteousness the more that you apply that effort toward righteousness, toward living right, toward doing the things that God asked of you, as far as character and integrity goes. I think that will put you on the path to righteousness, but not your servitude. Like, that will not help you, you know, as far as you living the way God wants you to live. Okay, so again, I just want to reiterate where he says, I know the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. Okay, he says, I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered that they are liars. Okay, so the second thing that I'm going to give you, he says, you don't tolerate evil people. But he didn't say you didn't display some of those evil behaviors. Okay, although we may not tolerate that for others, I want you to understand that you're akin to the same sin that you seek out in other people, right? Everybody's a hypocrite in their own right. I promise you. Everybody's a hypocrite. There are sometimes we have the idea that we can look at someone, we can say something about somebody else, but that same accusation that we place on the other person, I promise you, is evident in our own walks with God. Okay, so get out of the mindset that you guys are going to be, you know, perfect. Get out of the mindset that you are, that you don't have some of these evil tendencies that you seek out in others. Okay, although you don't tolerate evil people, I want you to understand that what you see in others is sometimes made evident within yourself. You feel me? Okay, so, and the third thing that I want to point out is he says, you suffered patiently for me, but he didn't say that you wouldn't suffer. And sometimes that suffering is caused by your own hand. I want to say that again. He says, you suffered patiently for me, but he did not say that you wouldn't suffer. And sometimes that suffering is caused by your own hand. All right. So let's put it this way. There are some things that you have experienced, things you may or may have not accomplished, things that you're actually going through now. Some of that hurt and trauma that you're feeling, a lot of that can be caused by your own hand, or it can be caused by someone else. So although he says that you have suffered patiently for me, I think sometimes when we take that walk into Christianity, we sometimes assume that we won't suffer, or that we won't experience those times of brokenness where we're actually hurting, right? Those are actually growth tools for life. So we have to get to a point where the suffering that we think may be something caused by, you know, like maybe a punishment or something like that. And if it's by your own hand, it might be a punishment. All right. But there are some instances where this is a pruning process. OK, so he didn't say that you wouldn't suffer, but you also have to understand that sometimes your suffering is caused by your own hand. All right. The next thing I want to point out is I want to take you down to verse 4. He says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you first did. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Okay, so Jesus is asking for repentance, right? He's asking for repentance. He's saying that there is a time and place where we first met. And when we met at this point, you used to look at me a certain way. You loved me a certain way. You worshiped me a certain way. You did things that you did when you first came to me in a certain way. And now that you've grown complacent, now that you've gotten cold, now that you've gotten comfortable, now that you walk in your church with expectations, like somebody's supposed to serve you, you have fallen a great distance, and your fire for me is not burning as bright as it should be. That light that you once had is a little bit dim. The things that you are experiencing is not because I am not with you, but more or less you have grown a little bit further from me. Right. So that is what he's explaining in this point. He says, go back to what changed your life. Go back to where you became a different person. Go back to where you live for me. Go back to where you had the fire. Go back to where you were passionate about telling new people to come to Christ. Go back to where you were inviting folks. Go back to where you were down to pray for me or pray with me. Go back to those points. Go back to those days where you first found that love that you never experienced before. Go back to where you felt free and you felt safe and you felt like you could be the person you were called to be. Go back to where you first found out who it was that I really said that you were in the first place. That's the place that Jesus is asking you to go back to, right? He's saying, go back to your first love. Look how far you have fallen. Okay, let me put that in the context. Look, like you used to be one that told the truth. Now you're a liar, right? You used to be the one who talked a lot about being committed and being faithful and showing up on time. Now you just stroll up when you want to. Now you just break your word and break your commitments just because you feel like somebody owes you something. You got a sense of entitlement. Go back to the place where you, like your word used to mean something to you. Right. He says, go back to where your word used to mean something to you. And guys, let me tell you something. For me, you know, back where I met, you know, Christ in the truest form was, okay, I had gone to a place where I needed 100% change in my life through unadulterated vulnerability. Right. There was a level of openness that I had where I felt safe. I actually was in an accountability group. You may not need an accountability group. You may not need that. But for me, that's where I went. Going back to that place, going to that place, like that is where I found, you know, God in such a pure and raw form, with just in a group of men where I could be open and honest and tell the truth, because it was freeing. I no longer had to hide. Right. So where is that place of freedom from you or for you, I should say, because if you have fallen a great distance, that means that there is something tied to your spirit that is weighing you down. OK, there's something that is weighing you down. OK, another place where I had found God or pleasure in being with him was serving. And I was serving with genuine love for others. I was being consistent to show up every time the church doors were open, every time there was an opportunity to serve. I showed up to serve, and it's not me going to do something, or wasn't me going to do something to where I could, you know, poke my chest out and hold my head up and say, look what I did. That wasn't the reason that I did it. Right. It was the first time that I had literally taken on a role because I was doing something for someone else and not myself. Because I had grown up my whole life being selfish, and this was an opportunity for me to be selfless. OK, big difference being selfish and selfless. All right. You know, the other thing that I did was I sincerely and I continually repented every day with sincerity. And it was with continued contritement of heart. I repented sincerely and daily. It was sobering. It freed me from so much. And the reason why it is daily is because you're a sinner. You sin every day. Every day you sin, whether the act is physical, mental, emotional, sin is sin. That's what the Bible teaches. Sin is sin. So I don't care like who you are, just because you didn't verbally or physically act out in a way that looked or that made you look bad or feel bad. Trust me, there are some things that you think that are not right. There are some things that we experience emotionally and internally that are not right. And those are also sins. So every day I was being sincere in my prayer time, and I was continually repenting, you know, for all the things that I was doing. And look, let me tell you something. Again, when you get complacent, those things that you did to get close to Christ, when those become stale, you're in a bad spot. All right. You're in a very bad spot. So the other thing is that there was a rhythm that I had created that actually ignited the fire in my spirit, where God was really touching me in a way that I had never been touched before. There was a time and place where I met with him daily. And in that time, that intimate time with him, was where he was able to remove some things that I did not want in my spirit. He was able to remove things that I had engraved in my mind. There were things that he was doing within me that I could not do on my own. There was not a self-help group on the planet that would have done it. There wasn't a pastor in the world who could have done it. There wasn't a prayer group or anything in the world that could have done it. It was a meeting time that I set aside for Christ himself and got in a relationship with him, and we talked it out. I talked and I listened and I talked and I listened and I worshiped and I prayed and I praised, and that was my time with him. And that kind of fire grew down within me in such a way where it literally made me another person. And let me tell you something, when you get out of those rhythms, guys, you start to fall. When you get out of those rhythms, you know, you find yourself in a place where you're not used to. You're not used to this place anymore. And that can be an issue. So God is like, do this for me. Okay, this is easy, like come back to me. Go back to the place where we first met. Do this for me, says the Lord. Okay. He says, you hate evil and idolatry. All right. So if you do this for him, this will remove any confusion for yourself where you're supposed to be. And for others who are concerning where you stand or who are concerned by where you stand. Right. Because if you're in a specific place that is detrimental to you, those that are attached to you are going to be affected by where you are. Okay. And that's a tough pill to swallow. So by you not going to that place of, you know, unity and I would say blissfulness with Christ, if you're not in that place and you're falling and you're regressing, the people who are connected to you are going to feel it the most. Right. Cause I can honestly say that, there is a weight in which you might feel, emotionally. There's a weight in which, you might feel that, that hurts you, but I want you to be honest that there is another kind of weight when other people are involved. Right. So God said, if you do this for me, if you hate evil and you get rid of the idolatry, I promise you. And this was God speaking in my spirit. This is not a verse verbatim. He can remove the confusion for you and those who love you, who are rooting for you. Right. He says, if I do this, God will give me the fruit, right, that he restricted from Adam and Eve. It says it right there in the word. He says, to everyone who is victorious, I will give them fruit. I will give them the fruit of the tree of life in the paradise. This was the fruit that was taken from Adam and Eve. This is what they were banished from. God said, I will give to you what I took from them. Okay. And the way he says, do that. He says, if you continue to hate the evil deeds. Okay. If you hear what I'm saying, if you have ears to hear what I am saying to you and you apply what it is I'm asking of you, you can have the fruit that I took from them. Okay. That is the tree of life. Okay. Eternal life is what God is offering. Eternal life is what he meant by this statement. So if you can apply what he is trying to get across to you, there's going to be an internal reward for it. All right. So, but here's a warning though. I want you guys to hear me, because yes, you have fallen. Yes, you have messed up. Okay. But this is where we rebuilt the foundation. Okay. This is where you renew your spirit. This is where you restore your soul. You got to hear me on this. Go back to where you first met Christ. Do the things that he asks of you. Okay. There are the only two commandments you have to be worried about right off the bat is love the Lord thy God above all else. Love no other gods. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the commandments of the Bible can be summed up in these, Jesus said. Okay. He says, love nobody before me. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But I want to warn you guys. Here's a warning sticker. Okay. He says, understand. Okay. I want you guys to understand that there are people talking about you right now because you messed up, because you have fallen, because you've done things you aren't proud of, right? You might still be doing them. You might have a bad habit, right? You might have an addiction or something. You might be in the midst of whatever you're going through right now. But understand, there will be people talking about your hangups. There will be people talking about your screw ups. People might make fun of you for what you did. They may never, ever let you live it down. They may always cast judgment on your side by bringing up what you did. I promise you, if that is the case, listen to me. They do not know your spiritual poverty or your emotional suffering. I'm going to say that again. They don't know your spiritual poverty and they don't know your emotional suffering. The saying goes, hurt people hurt people. Right? And those who are hurting may often do things that hurt themselves or others, right? It's not intentional. It's just that they're starving spiritually. It's not that I don't truly believe everybody wakes up with evil deeds in their minds. Yo, I'm going to go cause some strife today. I don't truly believe that's how people wake up and think. I might be wrong about that, But when people are starved spiritually and emotionally, when they're suffering internally, they may be apt to do things that are not normally them. They may be apt to act in a way that is not normally them. They may be apt to act or feel a certain way, you know, after a while, that may not be normally them. And I know if you're on the receiving end of it, it is sometimes hard to view it that way. Because when you're on the receiving end of it, it's like, yo, they don't care. Like, they don't love me. They don't care nothing about what they're doing to me. Like, they don't care. And that's not, I promise you, look, that's not always true. You feel me? There might be some downright dirty, evil people who don't care about you. But I don't truly believe that that is the mark of a person that way. I don't believe that. But I do think that there are some people who are suffering emotionally. They're starved spiritually. And they know no other way to do things. They're suffocating and they're looking for air. But unfortunately, they're trying to find the air in the wrong things. So if you are in the midst of your pain and your trauma and you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, you're trying to get away from things that you know that aren't right, that's because you're gasping for air and you don't know where to find it. You find it by giving your life to Christ. You find it by saying, I believe Jesus is Lord. You find it by saying, I believe He died on the cross and He rose on the third day and He sits at the right hand of the Father. That's where you find your fresh air. That's where you find it. If you can go to that place, if you can say you believe that in your heart, you will be saved, right? You won't have to deal with this. Again, they're not saying you won't have to deal with suffering or trauma, but you don't have to asphyxiate on foolish behaviors. You don't have to choke to death on what you did wrong. Furthermore, you don't have to be condemned by what others say about you, right? Because there are some people, even if they say that they're Christian, okay, they may love themselves more than they love you, right? So I want you guys to understand that. Just know that all those who say they might be for you may not be for you. So you should have a quick prayer for that, which goes a little something like, silence them, Father God, and help me see who they really are. Will you please point out the wolves? Will you please point out those who are not for me? Please point out those who refuse to see their own sin, but they want to cast stones at me. Right? It's like the story of, the Pharisees who caught the woman in act of adultery. And they wanted to trap Jesus and they want to condemn the woman. They wanted him to condemn the woman. And he says, those of you who have not sinned, please throw the first stone. And all of them had to drop their rocks after they heard what Jesus had to say, right? There are a lot of those people in your life who would literally throw stones first before they even ask, hey, are you okay? Can I pray for you? And these will be the same people, you know, who call themselves Christian, and they will mock you, make fun of you. They will try to trap you in your dirt. They might try to hang you with your words. And look, I understand you're not perfect. I understand you go through some things, right? But if you pray for God to expose those who are not for you and pray for God to send people that'll be with you, right? Look, that can change a lot. That can change a ton, right? So you have to understand that the devil is going to try you. But no matter what you see, no matter what the circumstances look like, try your best to remain faithful. Okay? Try your best to give your best to God. Try your best to do the things that God asked of you. Try your best to remain faithful, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what nobody else says about you. Try your best to do that, okay? You just got to be cautious, right? Because like I said, you have to be leery about some people who are in your corner. Be cautious, because there are some people among you that will encourage you to do things that you don't want to do. Right. There might be somebody in your inner circle that you like, they might encourage you to do something wrong, even when you know it's wrong. Right. They might get mad at you for doing it or for not doing it. That is OK. So, like I said, with that being said, guys, I want you guys to please to really analyze and think and try your best to, ask God, hey, like, where do you want me? Like, where did I first meet you? Like, ask for help. You know, I need to figure out what I can do to get back, to where we first started, right? I want to open up my heart to you. I want you to come in. I want to repent. I want to change my life. Like, I've fallen, God. I've fallen. So be thinking about where you first met God. And if you've never met God and you're hearing this podcast for the first time, right? You can meet God right where you are. You can ask him to come into your heart, right? Please, don't let this message go unheard. Don't let this message go to a point where, again, like I said, we want to apply the word, and I try to make this as practical as possible. Okay. Like I said, with that being said, I want you guys to understand that, look, don't try to be perfect. And just understand that, hard work does not equate to righteousness. Understand that. But I believe if you give perfect effort in your attempt to be righteous, you're going to be a lot further along than where you are right now. And what I mean by perfect effort, that means no matter what, staying faithful to the calling. No matter what, stay faithful to prayer. No matter what, if you messed up, stay faithful to talking to him. No matter what. No matter what you got to go through, no matter what you got to do, no matter what the situation looks like, stay faithful no matter what nobody else says. Okay? They may pick you. They may pick at you. They may make fun of you. Stay faithful to the calling. Right? This is, again, point number two. I'm just highlighting these facts. Don't be upset with yourself if you do display some behavior that's not normal, right? Don't get down on yourself. Don't feel ashamed of yourself. Look, I know it hurts. I'm not saying don't acknowledge it. I'm definitely not saying let it slide. But what I am saying is understand that you're human. You're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And I also understand, third point, that you might even be suffering by your own hand. You might do some things that cause yourself to suffer. Sometimes you suffer at the hands of other people. If you are the one that's causing the suffering, be sincere in your apologies. Say that you're sorry. If you are the one that are suffering by your own hand, give yourself some grace and understand that you're not perfect. You know where the foot of the cross is. You know how to get in contact with God. He's in the room with you right now. Right? I'll leave you with this. Go back to where you met God. Go back to where you met him. Go back to where you were committed to him. Go back to where you loved him endlessly. Go back to that point. Give him the very best of you, right? Don't give him the end pieces. Don't give him the stuff that you don't want. Give him the things that are hard to let go of. Father God, give him the things that are hard to let go of. It's easy to give something that's not yours. It's easy to be generous with other people's money. It's easy to be generous with stuff you really don't care about. It's easy to give something away that you really don't want. But the things that you're afraid of, you're afraid to let go of and give to him, that is what's going to transform your life. If you give him the thing that you're afraid that might be exposed in front of people, if you're afraid of that, of losing that image, that's what will be exposed. Like those are the hard things that you have to give to God. Give him your mask, I should say. Give him the things that you want to keep tucked away in your heart because you're afraid that if you expose him that you'll be hurt again. Give those things away. Bring those things to Jesus. Those are the things that he wants to deal with. Not the superficial part. Not the stuff that's on top. Not the fluff. Not the icing. He don't want that stuff. He wants all the stuff that's in there that's causing you to rebel, that's causing you to fall, that's causing you to hurt, that's causing you to live in shame and guilt. Those are the things that he wants. So, without further ado, guys, I want to tell you guys that I love you. I want to tell you guys that, I care about you. I hope this word helped you guys today. I hope that it spoke to your spirit. Father God, I just pray that this particular message that I spoke, I pray that this podcast touches those who are listening today. I pray that it literally turns a light on and that we understand where to find you. Father God, help us to put our own plan in place, whether it's accountability, whether it's servitude, whether it's a daily worship session with you, whatever that might be. Father God, help us to find the right means to tap into your heart, to enter the throne room. Hey, God, I just know that there are some people on here who really need you, who don't know how to seek you, maybe don't know how to be honest and vulnerable with you, Father God. But I pray for those who are listening right now, find the courage to lay it bare. Whether it's in a group or with a friend or with a person, whether you're confessing to somebody else, whether you're just confessing to God, if you have no one, I pray that you find freedom tonight. I pray that you find freedom through this message. And I pray that you're forever and radically changed. I love y'all. It's Keelan Martin. We out.